I'm thankful that the Lord is good. So I'm going to give you something tonight that hopefully can be an encouragement and a help. But Genesis chapter 18, and we're going to start in verse number 16. The Bible says this, And the men rose up from thence and looked towards Sodom, and Abraham went with them to bring them on the way. And the Lord said, Shall I hide from Abraham that thing which I do, seeing that Abraham shall surely become a great and mighty nation, and all the nations of the earth shall be blessed in him? For I know him, that he will command his children and his household after him, and they shall keep the way of the Lord to do justice and judgment, that the Lord may bring upon Abraham that which he hath spoken of him. With the Lord's help tonight, I'd like to preach a message entitled, A Reminder That God Knows. A Reminder That God Knows. Let's pray. Father, thank you for this night, Lord. I want to thank you, God, for your goodness. I want to thank you for an opportunity to be here at Faith Baptist Church tonight. And Lord, for this local church that you've just established here in Chehalis, Washington, God, and all the people that have been faithful and served for so long to make it what it is today. And Lord, we're thankful for a place that we can come and meet with you and worship and sing the songs of Zion and just lift up your name. And Lord, to hear from your word. And God, tonight as I stand behind this pulpit, I just plead the blood of Christ and ask God that you would cleanse me, Lord, that you would forgive me of anything in my heart, God, that would hide your power or your strength from preaching your word. God, empty me of myself, Lord, and make me a vessel fit for the master's use. God, give me what I need tonight, Lord, to be able to bring forth your word with power and authority, but also, Lord, with wisdom and with love and with your spirit, God. And Lord, I pray you do the same for these folks gathered tonight, Lord. God, we need to hear from you. And Lord, we need your power to do that. Not just in the preacher, but Lord, in the listener. Lord, as you told your disciples that you would give them understanding of your word. I pray you do that tonight, Father. And Lord, I don't know what each person may need here tonight, but I know you gave me this message. Lord, and I pray that it would accomplish its purpose, whether it's be the main point of it and the main thrust that I'm trying to get across, but maybe it may just be a passing scripture or a passing thought. Lord, I pray you'd help your people tonight in whatever it may be. And so God, please give me your strength. Give me your power. I need you so much, God. I cannot do this in my own strength, and I don't want to do it in my own strength. And so, Father, please just use me to do what you've called me to do. God, help me preach as a dying man tonight, and I'll be sure to give you the praise and glory and honor because you are the one that deserves it. And I pray all these things in the name of my Lord and Savior. Amen. Amen. So as I said, I'd like to preach tonight on a reminder that God knows. A reminder that God knows. We're kind of just kind of jump straight into the message tonight, springboarding from this passage. But I'd like to remind you first off this evening that God knows you. That God knows you. Here in Genesis chapter 18 and verse number 19, the Lord, speaking about Abraham, says this. It says, For I know him. For I know him. And it's an amazing thing tonight that God knows us and God specifically knows you. Right? There are many people in this world, and even just tonight, we have a decent-sized group here, and then you think of maybe the people in Chehalis, Washington, and the people in Lewis County, and the people in Washington State, and the people in the United States, and the people in this entire world. There's a lot of people on this world today. But you know what's amazing? That God knows you. And he knows you specifically. He knows your strengths. He knows your weaknesses. He knows what's good about you. He knows what's bad about you. He knows what makes you tick. He knows the desires of your heart. He knows your actions. He knows you. If you go over to Psalm chapter 33, Psalm chapter 33, just thinking about that tonight, that God knows you. Psalm 33, in verse number 13, the Bible says this, Psalm 33 and verse 13, the Bible says, The Lord looketh from heaven, he beholdeth all the sons of men. From the place of his habitation he looketh upon all the inhabitants of the earth. He fashioneth their hearts alike, he considereth all their works. Now these are maybe verses we know or we've heard preached about, but really, really think about that tonight. That the Lord beholds all of the sons of men. The Lord beholds you in your life and what you do and where you go and how you act. In verse number 15, it says, He looketh upon all the inhabitants of the earth. That includes you. He fashioneth their hearts alike. He considereth all the works, all their works. Do you ever think about that? That God sits up in heaven and he considers your works tonight? He considers the things that you do and how you handle yourself and how you live. God considers that about you specifically. If you go over to Jeremiah chapter 32, Jeremiah chapter 32, Jeremiah 32, and verse number 17, Jeremiah 32 and verse number 17, the Bible says, "Ah, Lord God, behold, thou hast made the heaven and the earth, and by thy great power and stretched out arm, and there is nothing too hard for thee. Thou showest loving kindness unto thousands, and recompensest the iniquity of the fathers unto the bosom of their children after them. The great, the mighty God, the Lord of hosts is his name, great in counsel and mighty in work. For thine eyes are open upon all the ways of the sons of men, to give every one according to his ways and according to the fruit of his doings." And that's amazing tonight that we serve such a great and such a magnificent and such a just awe-inspiring God. It talks about that, about the great, the mighty God. The Lord of hosts is his name. He's high and he's exalted and he's glorified. And yet, in spite of that, his eyes are open unto all the ways of the sons of men, to give every one according to his ways and according to the fruit of his doings. That in spite of him being so exalted and magnified and lifted up, he still cares about you, and he still notices you, and he still knows you. That's an amazing thing tonight. And the reality is you know what? That can be a sobering and a scary thing to think about. Right? That God knows you and that God knows me, that he's acquainted with all our ways. He sees everything that we do. Over in Job chapter 34, Job chapter 34, and in verse number 21, Job 34, 21, the Bible says this. It says, for his eyes, speaking of the Lord, for his eyes are upon the ways of man, and he seeth all his goings. There is no darkness nor shadow of death where the workers of iniquity may hide themselves. And that's a sobering thought to think about. You can't get away from God. There's no darkness, there's no corner, there's no place where the eyes of God are not upon you. You know what? I think that would make an effect on our life and maybe some of the things we're involved in and some of the things we say and some of the things we listen to and some of the things we do. If we had that in the forefront of our mind, that guess what? The eyes of the Lord are upon me. Well, guess what? Whether you think about it or not, they are. They're there. They see you. They watch you. And there's no getting away from that. And so that can be a sobering and scary thing. But I don't really focus on that. I want to focus on that. You know what? Knowing that God knows us and sees us, it can be an assuring and an encouraging thing. It can be assuring, it can be encouraging, it can be comforting, because going back to Genesis chapter 18 and verse number 19 about Abraham, the Lord says, "For I know him, that he will command his children and his household after him, and they shall keep the way of the Lord to do justice and judgment, that the Lord may bring upon Abraham that which he hath spoken of by him." God knew Abraham, and you know what he knew about Abraham? That Abraham was a man that was going to command his house and his children the right way, that he was going to keep the way of the Lord to do justice and judgment. And just as sobering it can be that, man, I better be careful what I do and how I live, and I better not think I can hide sin in my life because God sees it. It's also a blessing tonight to know that, you know what, God sees the good things we do. God sees our faithfulness to him. God sees the things that nobody else may know, nobody else may ever think about, and even maybe the things that we struggle with and we fight against, but we do what's right. You know what? God knows that. God sees that you're living for him. God sees that you're here on a Sunday night when you could be doing something different or focusing on something different. God knows those things. And that's pretty awesome to think about, that you know what? Even if no one else does, God knows that about me. And God sees that about me. And I can take comfort in that. And I mean, you even think about what he says about Abraham. It's pretty awesome when the Lord knows something good about you. Right? That he would say about Abraham and compliment him in this way. Right? The Bible says in Proverbs 22:1 that a good name is rather to be chosen than great riches and loving favor rather than silver and gold. Like, it means something when you have a good name. And I'm sure you've probably experienced, it's nice when you hear somebody else say something nice about you, right? When they compliment you, or they say, hey, they're a godly Christian, or they're faithful to the Lord, or they're loving, or they're kind, or they're compassionate. That's an encouragement. That's a help, right? Well, even more than that, think of God himself saying that about you. That, hey, I know so-and-so, they're a faithful Christian. Hey, I know so-and-so, they live for me, and they love me, and they're a witness for me, and they share Christ with others. And the great thing is, God does know that about you. And man, that's an awesome thing to think about, that hopefully there's some things in my life where the Lord would look at Aaron Riddle and say, hey, you know what? I know Aaron Riddle. And yes, I know he has his faults and his failures, and just like Abraham was not a perfect man, but hopefully he would say about me and say about you, I know them, and I know they're going to do some things for God. I know they have some characteristics and some qualities that are godly, that are spiritual, that are right. And man, that's a blessing to have a good name with God, amen. That's an encouragement, that's a help. And when we think about that, that the Lord knows you and he knows the right you do and he knows the way you live, even maybe when it's hard, that the Lord rewards those that do and live right. That when God knows that you live for him and you love him and you serve him, there's a reward for that and there's blessings that come with that. In Psalm chapter 18, Psalm chapter 18 and verse number 19. The Bible says this. David says, it says, he brought me forth also out of a large place, or into a large place. He delivered me because he delighted in me. The Lord rewarded me according to my righteousness, according to the cleanness of my hands hath he recompensed me. For I have kept the ways of the Lord, and have not wickedly departed from my God, for all his judgments were before me, and I did not put away his statutes from me. I was also upright before him, and I kept myself from mine iniquity. Therefore hath the Lord recompensed me according to my righteousness, according to the cleanness of my hands and his eyesight. With the merciful thou wilt show thy self-merciful, and with an upright man thou wilt show thyself upright. You know what David says? God has rewarded me and God has blessed me because I've lived for him, because I've done the right thing, because even in spite of my faults, I've tried to serve him. And look, we don't preach a prosperity gospel here that, man, if you just live for God, your life's going to be perfect, you're going to have all the money in the world and a fancy car and a fancy house and no problems. That's not how the Lord works. But there are blessings that come from living for God. There are good things that happen when you're faithful to him. And yes, you're going to have struggles. And yes, you're going to have heartaches. And yes, the Lord's not going to give you everything exactly the way you thought it should happen and in your timing. But I can say from a testament over these past couple months, the Lord is good to them that wait for him, to the soul that seeketh him. That when you do live for God, God is going to bless you because of it. Yeah, you might have to be patient. Yeah, you might have to wait and endure some things, but God will be faithful to you. He knows you. And so because he knows you, you can have confidence in the fact that he's going to take care of you. And that's a blessing when you can rely on that and trust in that. And once again, that doesn't mean that, oh, God knows I live for him, so my life's going to be perfect this week and I'm not going to have any trouble. But God's going to take care of me and God's going to be there for me. And I'm afraid sometimes all we focus on is like, oh, I just better not do bad things because God's going to punish me. And yes, there are consequences for doing wrong, but there is benefits and blessings for doing right. And I think we sometimes forget about that, and we let the devil get into our hearts and minds that it's really not worth it to live for God. Why am I faithful to church? Why am I faithful to give? Why am I faithful to spend time with him? Why am I faithful to be a witness? Hey, there's blessings that come from that. And at the very least, even if it's not on this earth, hey, in heaven one day, there's going to be rewards for it. And so I just want to remind you this evening that God knows you and have confidence in that. Yes, we're all sinners here tonight. No one's perfect. And we're going to probably talk about that a little bit and here in a little bit. But God sees you and God knows that you're trying to live for him and do what's right. And he sees the things that you do for him and live for him. And you can have confidence that because God knows me, he's going to take care of me and he's going to bless me. Not for our pride or glory, like we're anything amazing or great, but because he's good. And he rewards those that live for him. So I'd like to remind you this evening, number one, that God knows you. But number two, I'd like to remind you that God knows where you're at. That God knows where you're at. We're going to go to Job chapter 23. Job chapter 23. Brother Tony Shirley preached on this on Monday, so I'm not going to try to re-preach his message. But Job chapter 23, and verse number 8. Job 23 and verse number 8. Job speaking says this. He says, "Behold, I go forward, but he is not there, and backward, but I cannot perceive him. On the left hand where he doth work, but I cannot behold him. He hideth himself on the right hand that I cannot see him. But he knoweth the way that I take. When he hath tried me, I shall come forth as gold." Have you ever been in that spot before? And I'm sure you have, where you feel like God can't be found. Where you almost feel like, in a sense, that he's left you alone and you don't know what's going on. And just like Job, you say, "I look behind, I go forward, but he's not there. And backward, but I can't perceive him. And I know he's supposed to be with me, but I just feel kind of lost. I feel like God's not there." Well, can I encourage you and remind you this evening that even when it seems like God is silent, the Lord is still right there with you. And God knows where you're at. The Bible says, "But he knoweth the way that I take." God knows what you're going through. God knows what you're experiencing. God knows the place that you're in. And even though he may be silent, God knows. Go to Psalm chapter 139. Psalm 139. Psalm 139. Psalm 139, we're going to start in verse number 1. The Bible says this. The Bible says, "O Lord, thou hast searched me and know me." And think about what David says in this passage. "Thou knowest my downsitting and mine uprising. Thou understandest my thought afar off. Thou compassest my path and my lying down, and art acquainted with all my ways. For there is not a word in my tongue, but lo, O Lord, thou knowest it altogether. Thou hast beset me behind and before, and laid thine hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is high, I cannot attain unto it. Whither shall I go from thy spirit, or whither shall I flee from thy presence? If I ascend up into heaven, thou art there. If I make my bed in hell, behold, thou art there. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, even there shall thy hand lead me, and thy right hand shall hold me." You know, sometimes I know we take this passage, and I've preached on it before, about you better be careful how you live, because God's there, right? You're not going to get away from God. He's always going to be there. And as we talked earlier, he's always going to know what you're doing. You can't hide from him. But you know how we can also apply this passage tonight? That even when you feel like he isn't there, he is there. And he knows where you're at. And just like David said, "Thou compasseth my path and my lying down, and art acquainted with all my ways." Yes, sometimes he's silent. Yes, sometimes he tests you. Yes, sometimes he sees what you're going to do, and he may not show you everything you want to see or know. But God is there. And God knows where you're at. And you know what? Because God knows you, he's going to take care of you. Because God knows you, he's going to take care of you. Sorry, I should have told you to stay back in Job 23. But back in Job 23, it says, "But he knoweth the way that I take. When he hath tried me, I shall come forth as gold." And verse 11, it says, "My foot hath held his steps. His way have I kept and not declined, neither have I gone back from the commandment of his lips. I have esteemed the words of his mouth more than my necessary food. But he is in one mind, and who can turn him? And what his soul desireth, even that he doeth. For he performeth the thing that is appointed for me, and many such things are with him." Ask me about verse 14 sometime, amen. But you know what we see here? That Job says, "Hey, you know what? I've done my best to live for him." And you know what? God knows that. Remember we just talked about that God knows you? And because God knows you and that you've been faithful to him and lived for him and are doing your best for him, he's going to take care of you. Verse 14, for he performeth the thing that is appointed for me. He has a plan and he has a purpose for you. In Psalm 18, 30, as for God, his way is perfect. And then in verse 32, he it is that maketh my way perfect. So even when it seems like you're in a spot that you can't see God and you don't know what God's doing and he seems a little silent and you look forward and he's not there and you look backward and you can't perceive him, he still has a plan that he's working on in your life. And he sees that you're faithful to him, and he sees that you're doing your best, and he sees that, you know what, your foot hath held his steps, and his way you've kept and not declined. You haven't gone back from the commandment of his lips and esteemed the words of his mouth more than your necessary food. Sometimes it feels like God doesn't know that, if we're honest, right? I'm sure I'm not the only one that's ever looked at God and said, Lord, do you know I'm trying to live for you? Like, God, you know I'm praying every day to get an answer, and Lord, I'm trying to seek you and find you, and you seem so quiet, and why is it going like this? He knows the way that you take. And he's going to perform the thing that is appointed for you. You know why? Because he knows you. Because he knows that you've lived for him and done what's right. Not that you're perfect, because none of us are perfect. But you're doing your best. And you can take some confidence in that. And you can remember that even when it seems like God is silent, hey, God knows where I'm at. And God knows what I'm going through. And you know what? He's going to take care of me. And so I'd like to remind you tonight, number one, that God knows you. Number two, I'd like to remind you that God knows where you're at. And then lastly this evening, I'd like to remind you that God knows your weakness. That God knows your weakness. Go to Psalm 103, Psalm chapter 103. Psalm 103. In verse number 8, the Bible says this. The Bible says, the Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger and plenteous in mercy. He will not always chide, neither will he keep his anger forever. He hath not dealt with us after our sins, nor rewarded us according to our iniquities. For as the heaven is high above the earth, so great is his mercy toward them that fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far hath he removed our transgressions from us. Like as a father pitieth his children, so the Lord pitieth them that fear him. For he knoweth our frame, he remembereth that we are dust. As for man, his days are as grass, as a flower of the field, so he flourisheth. For the wind passeth over it, and it is gone, and the place thereof shall know it no more. But the mercy of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting upon them that fear him. And his righteousness unto children's children, to such as keep his covenant, and to those that remember his commandments, to do them. You know what I see here? That God knows your weakness. In verse number 14, he says, for he knoweth our frame, he remembereth that we are dust. The Lord knows tonight that we are frail, and we're prone to fail. Do you know that tonight? That God understands that you're a mortal, frail, faulted human being. That God knows even when you try your best, you're going to mess up. That even when you try to serve him and love him and be faithful to him, that you're going to fail. I'm not talking about, you know, oh, it's okay to sin, but understanding that we're sinful flesh. That we're not perfect tonight. And you understand that God knows that about you. God understands your weakness. God knows your strengths and what you're good at, but God knows what you struggle with. God knows this past week what you have struggled with. And maybe even the things that you've come to an altar and talked to God about, or you've spent time in your personal prayer life saying, God, help me with this, and God, help me with this, and God, help me with this, and you've still messed up and you've still failed on it. God knows your weakness. He knows you're frail and you're prone to fail. But can I say this about the Lord? And I think it's a good reminder for us that the Lord is not vindictive and the Lord is not cruel. Can I remind you this evening that the Lord is not out to get you? The Lord's not up in heaven trying to get revenge on you because you're not good enough for him. The Lord's not up in heaven saying, and once again, I'm not talking about punishing wrongdoing or chastening his children when we do wrong. I'm talking about someone that's trying to live for God, right? We're trying to do right. And even when we fail and mess up, we try to get back up and live for God. God's not up in heaven trying to get even with you because you're not perfect. God's not up in heaven trying to make you feel miserable because you just can't do it and you should know better and all these types of things. I'm not talking about chastening. I'm talking about him being vindictive and cruel, because if I'm honest, I feel like sometimes we feel like God's that way. And we live in our life full of just depression and discouragement and heartache because we feel like we're not good enough for God, and we aren't. But we forget that God's okay with that, and God knows that, and God understands that. And we feel like God's up in heaven just with his thumb on us, like, you're not this and you're not that, and you'll never be good. God is not vindictive and God is not cruel. If you look in verse number 8, the Bible says, "The Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger and plenteous in mercy. He will not always chide, neither will he keep his anger forever. He hath not dealt with us after our sins, nor rewarded us according to our iniquities." Does that sound like a God that's vindictive? Does that sound like a God that's out for revenge? Does that sound like a God that's out just to make you miserable in your life, just to show you that you're not good enough for him? That doesn't sound like the same God, amen. And can I tell you this evening that for the Christian, the Lord convicts. He doesn't condemn. And I'll say that again. The Lord convicts. He doesn't condemn. Because yes, sometimes there are things in our life that we need to get right with God. And you know what? The Lord's going to convict us about that. He's going to work on our heart. But you know what he's going to do? He's going to come down to you. He's going to come down to James and say, like, James, you're not doing this thing right. But here's how you fix it. Here's how you make it right. Now go ahead and do what's right. That's what he does. He helps us get it right. You know what, he doesn't come down and slap James upside the head. I mean, in a sense, sometimes I feel like he does that to me. But he doesn't just mean, and James, you know what, you're just not good enough, and you need to be better, and you're never going to get it, and you're never going to be good enough, and you should just quit, and you should just, you know, forget it, because you're just not good enough. That's not what the Lord does. The Bible says in Romans 8:1 that there is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. But that's somehow what we put on God. Right, because you know what? The flesh and the devil condemn. We do that. Right? We get on our case, or the devil gets on our case and sits down beside us and says, well, you're just not good enough. And yeah, you're trying and trying to do your best and you're praying, but you know what? You're never going to get there. You're never going to be good enough. You just are a failure. That's not the Lord. The Lord just convicts. You know what? He draws us to him. I was talking to someone today about, you know what? The goodness of God leadeth thee to repentance. And yes, sometimes he does may have to get our attention and slap us upside the head or chasten us a little bit. But he does it in love. He does it because he cares about us. Not because, once again, he's being vindictive or cruel or just trying to run you into the ground because you're not good enough. And can I say this evening, and maybe someone tonight here needs to hear this, that because God knows you, right? Because God knows that you're trying to do right. Once again, I'm not talking about someone that's just in open rebellion against God. Because sometimes we do get that way, right? And we just don't care. And we're doing it. And maybe God does have to bring some force and say, hey, get right. But I'm talking tonight to those of us that are trying to live for God. We're trying to do right. And even in the midst of our failures, trying to move forward for God, that God knows you and God knows your prayers and God knows your heart and God knows you're trying. And you know what? It's okay that you're not perfect. And I don't know who needs to hear that tonight, but it's okay. It's okay that you fail. It's okay that you fall down. It's okay that you're not everything that you think you should be. And I'm not saying tonight, once again, that that means it's an excuse for us to sin or excuse for us to just be like, you know what, I can just live how I want, because it's okay. I'm not talking about that. I'm saying it's okay that you have to wake up every morning and say, God, help me, give me victory over this, because I just can't seem to get the victory. It's okay that maybe last week you came to an altar and said, God, I need help with this. And Lord, give me victory. And the week before that, you had to come to an altar and say, God, help me with this. Give me and the week before, and you know what? You still failed at that this week. It's okay. It's okay that you're not perfect. It's okay that you mess up and you fail and you fall down and you're not everything you should be. You know why? Because God knows our frame, that we're as dust. And God knows you. And God knows you're trying. And God knows you're doing your best. And God hears your prayers. And God sees your tears. And God sees your heart. It's okay. okay. Once again, not that we just, oh, I fell, and so this is just how. It's okay to get back up again and keep moving forward. It's okay to go to him the next day and say, Lord, I failed and I messed up. God, help me to do what's right today. It's okay to come down to the altar for maybe the 50th time to pray about that thing that you're still working. It's okay. And it's not the Lord getting on your case and condemning you tonight that you're such a failure and you're no good and you might as well just give up or quit or throw in the towel because you just can't do it yourself. And once again, we can't do it ourselves. But you know what? The Lord's faithful to us, and he'll show us what we need to do. And he's okay with you not being perfect and having to keep getting right and keep getting up and keep going forward for God because he knows you. And we see that in a couple verses here. In verse number 11, the Bible says, for as the heaven is high above the earth, so great is his mercy toward them that what? That fear him. In verse number 13, like as a father pitieth his children, so the Lord pitieth them that fear him. Verse number 17. But the mercy of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting upon them that fear him, and his righteousness unto the children's children, to such as keep his covenant, and to those that remember his commandments to do them. Once again, we're not just talking about people that are rebellious and sinful and say, I don't care, I'm going to do what I want. I'm not saying those are the ones God has grace with, even though sometimes he does. I'm talking about those that fear him. You know what you see over and over and over again in that passage we just read? That the Lord pities, that the Lord's merciful, that the Lord's kind. And yeah, I know how we think as humans, and we put ourselves in God's place sometimes, because that's how we would be, right? If I'm trying to help someone, and the reality is, if the second time, right, they come back, I'm going to be kind of like, well, I'm done with you, forget you, you're not doing good. But that's how we feel like the Lord is with us. Can we be honest tonight? That's how we feel the Lord treats us, like God's tired of us coming to him and God's tired of trying to help us with this and God's tired of our prayers and God's tired of our tears. He's not. He's okay. He's merciful. He's kind. He's loving. He's compassionate. And you know what? Sometimes the Lord will give you victory right away. I was talking to someone about that this past week. Sometimes there are things that you pray and you seek God about, and guess what? When that happens, you can get up from the altar, you can get up from your time with God, and God gives you victory. But you know what? There's some things that you're going to keep battling and keep battling and keep battling and keep facing, and you know what? You're going to struggle with, am I good enough because I can't get victory over this? And you're going to struggle with, what's wrong with me that I can't get the victory and I can't finish this, and what's wrong with me, and what's the problem with me, and you're going to start to feel condemned and discouraged and downhearted. And once again, I'm not saying we lose this striving to do what's right, but I'm just trying to tell you tonight, it's okay. Because you know what? The Lord will use your weakness to prove, grow, and teach you. And that's okay. He's going to use that thing that you struggle with. He's going to use that thing that maybe you just can't seem to get the victory over. He's going to use that prayer that you keep praying and are waiting for God to answer. And you're just like, why hasn't this happened yet? You know why? Because he's trying to prove, and he's trying to grow, and he's trying to teach you some things. And that's okay. It's okay that you don't have it all figured out right now. It's okay that you're not everything you should be, right? We're never all going to be perfect. It's okay. Go to Judges chapter 3 and we'll be done with this. Judges chapter 3 and verse number 1. The Bible says this, Judges 3 and verse number 1. Now these are the nations which the Lord left to prove Israel by them, even as many of Israel had not known all the wars of Canaan, only that the generations of the children of Israel might know to teach them war, at the least such as before nothing thereof, namely five lords of the Philistines and of all the Canaanites and of the Sidonians and the Hivites that dwelt in Mount Lebanon from Mount Baal Hermon unto the entering of Hamath, and they were to prove Israel by them, to know whether they would hearken unto the commandments of the Lord, which he had commanded their fathers by the hand of Moses. We could have a piano player come to piano. You know what we find here? that God left some battles for the Israelites to face even when they were in the promised land. Even when they were in the place that God gave them, he said, you know what? I'm going to leave some enemies here for you to fight. Why? To teach you how to war. To teach you how to have victory over the enemy. You know what? I'm going to prove you to see if you're going to be faithful to me and follow me even in the midst of the battles. And so you know why God's going to leave some weakness in your life? You know probably quite possibly why God has left that thing in your life that you feel like, why can't I get victory over this? And why do I keep struggling with this? And why can I not just beat it? Maybe he's let it there to teach you how to war. To teach you how to come to him maybe every day and say, Lord, I need your help with this. Because you know what would happen if we didn't have battles? We'd really forget that we need God. We wouldn't pray as much. We wouldn't read our Bible as much. We wouldn't be so attentive at church because, well, life is good. I'm good. So you know what he does? He leaves that there to teach you how to war. He leaves it there to prove you. To say, okay, yeah, if I just gave you everything you wanted and did everything for you, of course you'd live for me because you're getting a benefit. But what happens if I don't give you that thing? What happens if you keep struggling with this? What happens if it doesn't happen just like that? Are you going to stay faithful to me? Are you going to live for me and follow me and do what's right because it's right and because I deserve it or just because you're getting something out of it? I'm just trying to say tonight, it's okay. It's okay. And I don't know who needs to hear that tonight, but it's okay. You know why? Because God knows your weakness. And he knows you. And so I just wanted to try to be an encouragement and a help tonight and to remind you that God knows. To remind you that God knows you. To remind you that God knows where you're at. And to remind you that God knows your weakness, and it's okay, because God knows. So as the piano plays with heads bowed and eyes closed, we'll have a time of invitation here. If you'd like to do some business with the Lord, maybe come down to an altar and maybe talk to God and say, okay, Lord, you know my weakness. And maybe you have to for the 20th, 30th time say, okay, God, here's this thing, and Lord, I need your help, but you know what? Lord, I'm trusting that you know, and I'm trusting that you have a purpose in this. Maybe it's, Lord, help me to be someone that you would say, I know this about him. Lord, help me be an Abraham that you would say about me that I know he's going to follow my way. Lord, help me to be that person. Maybe it's tonight just to say, Lord, thank you that you know where I'm at. Lord, maybe I haven't been able to see you or hear you as well as I'd like, and not everything's happened, but Lord, thank you that you know the way that I take. Whatever it may be, I just encourage you tonight to do some business with the Lord, whether in your chair or down here in an altar, but take some time to talk to him and maybe reflect on the fact that, you know what, God knows. God knows, and praise the Lord for that. Dear Father, Lord, thank you for this day, God. Thank you, Lord, for once again an opportunity to be in your house and to hear from your word. And Lord, once again, I just want to thank you, Father, that you know, Lord, and it is so comforting and reassuring, God, to remember that you know these things about us, about where we're at, about our weakness. And Father, I pray that that would be a help to these folks gather here tonight, Lord, and I believe that was the message you put on my heart for this evening. And so, God, whoever needed to hear that, Lord, I pray that it accomplished its purpose. And that, God, maybe they're not in a place right now where it might be that relevant. But I pray, Lord, that maybe even down the road, they would just think of those things. And God, that they would remember that you know. And so, God, thank you for your word. Thank you for your goodness. Lord, you're so merciful and kind and gracious and much better to us than we deserve, and I want to thank you for that, Lord. So, Father, I just pray you dismiss us with your blessing tonight. I pray that you would help us to just apply the things that we learned today in Sunday school and Sunday morning and Sunday night. And Lord, it wouldn't just stay here, but as we go out these doors, that Father, it would just make a lasting change in our hearts and lives. And so, Lord, we love you. We pray you'd come back soon. And Lord, help us to be faithful until that time comes. We thank you for everything. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, thank you for being in church tonight, everyone. You are dismissed. Have a great evening.